The year was 1620, and it had gotten to be more than they could take. So 102 people decided it was time to move. It was time to go. They had endured the persecution, the stresses, the pressures. And so these 102 people decided to go. So they got into a boat there in Plymouth, England. A boat, you've heard of it, named the Mayflower. These conservative religious separatists were seeking a new home. A place where they could practice their faith. There was promise of new land for growing crops and raising their families without the oppression that they had been enduring. So in September of 1620, they embarked on this journey. 66 days later, 2 months at sea, they hit land north of where they had intended to be. But they anchored near what is now Cape Cod. They would cross the Massachusetts Bay and begin what would be known as the Plymouth Colony. During that first winter, because they had left in September, now it's into November, most of them stayed on the ship, which was ridden with disease. Many died from scurvy and exposure, and only half of the 102 survived that first winter. Then spring came. And in the spring, they were greeted by a Native American who spoke English. He had been enslaved by a trapper earlier, and he had escaped and then had gone to England and then had come to the New World to be a translator on an expedition. He came, found these Puritans, showed them how to cultivate corn, to fish the natural rivers of North America, how to avoid the poisonous plants, and how to survive on this land because it was different from where they had come. This Native American helped forge an alliance with these first settlers and the Native American people who were in that area. And in November of 1621, after a successful harvest, there was food for the winter, Governor Bradford organized a celebration feast that would last 3 days. The purpose of which was to celebrate and give thanks to God for his provision and protection. Now, I'm sure you have heard that story before, of our first Thanksgiving, of how it came about and the reason. But our Thanksgiving came because God's people sought to worship God, and God provided a way and a place for them to do that. And his people recognized that we must give him thanks. And thus came the first Thanksgiving. In 1623, 2 years later, a second feast was planned because of a great drought that came that threatened the harvest. The second Thanksgiving. Later, during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress designated one or more days of Thanksgiving each year to give thanks to God. In 1789, George Washington issued the first proclamation by the national government of the United States. Successive presidents would follow his lead and would set aside a day for giving thanks for protection and provision. Throughout the 1800s, many states began to adopt an annual Thanksgiving holiday. And in 1863, at the height of the Civil War, after pressure from an editor, Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation that all Americans were to take a day and to ask God to commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife, and to heal the wounds of the nation. And he scheduled it for the final Thursday in November. From then on, it was celebrated on that final Thursday until 1939, when President Roosevelt moved it up 1 week to spur retail sales during the Great Depression, thus the first Black Fridays. He met some division in doing that. They called it Franksgiving, and those kind of derisive terms. And in 1941, he reluctantly signed a bill making Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday in November. Now you know the rest of the story. Thanksgiving, our federal holiday. One that we all enjoy. Many of us enjoy it because it means it's the start of the Christmas season. For many, the Christmas season has already started. But Thanksgiving, a federal holiday, from its inception, the purpose of it was to give thanks to God. It was uniquely Christian in nature, and perhaps that's why our culture and society has kind of passed it over in recent days. Because if there is no God, there's really no one to thank. But we as Christians are mandated. We have a biblical requirement to celebrate Thanksgiving. And we are blessed to live in a nation that has a federal holiday that gives us off work, out of school, to do specifically what God has commanded us to do. So if you will, look for me for a few moments to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, we all know what it means to be thankful. If you look at definition, it just means to be grateful, appreciative, another word I like, relieved, helped. That's what it means to be thankful. And we see the idea of thankfulness, and as a matter of fact, the actual word of being thankful throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, it was there. Throughout Leviticus, there are many instances where it says, give thanks to God, and prescribes the sacrifices we should give, that the people should give in thanksgiving for His provision and His protection. It tells us that it should be done in an acceptable way. It should be done in a sacrificial way. And then in the Old Testament, they even had songs of thanksgiving. I don't know what happened to them because we don't have many Thanksgiving songs nowadays. We go straight into Christmas music. No good Thanksgiving, you know, there's not a Thanksgiving station on Sirius Radio. But in the Old Testament, they had many songs that were Thanksgiving songs to thank God specifically for who He is, what He's done, and how He has helped us. As we come to 1 Thessalonians, the passage we'll consider this evening, this is in the middle of another phrase, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica and telling them how they should live and what they should do. And he has a phrase here of imperative statements, commands, saying, this is what you should do. And we're going to consider just the last phrase of that tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, give thanks. Direction, command, you give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want us to consider four reasons we should give thanks tonight. Not just for the turkey and not just for the celebration of the time with family, but why Christians, we as followers of Christ, should be thankful. First, we should be thankful and we should give thanks because it distinguishes us from the world. It makes us different from the world. An attitude of thanklessness or unthankfulness is characteristic of the world. Romans chapter 1 talks about this when it says, though God had revealed Himself and showed Himself to the world, men did not honor Him in their hearts or give thanks to Him. You see, the world is not a thankful people. Those who do not know Christ do not naturally have thanks and want to be thankful in their hearts. We're different from the world if we have Christ. Matter of fact, thankfulness should define who we are. See, when we're saved, God gives us a new heart. A heart that longs to give Him thanks. The world, their heart, never even thinks about it. doesn't cross their mind to be thankful. They've ignored what God said, ignored his revelation, and they don't give him thanks. And we see in that Romans passage, for the world that doesn't thank God and is not recognized that he is the creator, how they tumble and spiral down into sin. A thankful heart guards against that. So we should be thankful because it distinguishes us from the world. And it defines who we are. It should be a constant part of our life in worship. Ephesians 5:20 says we should be giving thanks always. And it contrasts it to the way we used to live. That before, we weren't being thankful. Now, we're thankful people. We recognize that we have God in our life and that he's done a great work. And we are thankful for it. You see, in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father through him. So when you are cooking in the stove, cooking in the kitchen this weekend, give thanks because of what you're doing, the way you're doing it. When you're raking the leaves, give thanks. No matter what, give thanks. We give thanks because it distinguishes us from the world. It's a defining mark of a believer is one who gives thanks. We also give thanks because it declares God's wisdom. We see here in this passage, what does he say? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. You see, when we understand this passage, that all means all. It doesn't mean just give thanks when the world is right and everything's wonderful and your family's all coming home and everybody's happy with each other and gets along and there's enough money in the bank and the job's great and you love it and all your... In all circumstances. See, Romans 8:28 sets the overarching principle for us here. It tells us that how we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. See, this is how we give thanks in all circumstances. Paul doesn't say here, give thanks for all things, because there are things that happen in this life that it's going to be difficult to say, God, I thank you that I lost my job for that act. But God, thank you that even though I lost my job, I know you're in control of this situation. God, even though this terrible catastrophe is happening, thank you that I don't have to worry because I know you're still in charge. God, thank you that even though the doctor has said it's cancer, I know you're the great physician. I know all this is going to work together for good somehow. Doesn't matter. Because Paul says, give thanks, what? In a few of your circumstances. No. In most circumstances, in good, no. What circumstances? All. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because it's the will of God for you. It's what God wants for your life. You see, God's providence, his sovereign blending of all of life's contingencies for a believer's ultimate blessing causes us to be thankful for everything in life. When we know that everything that happens in this world fits into God's eternal purpose, we can still be thankful. Reminded of Joseph in the Old Testament, who at the end of Genesis, his brothers come to him and are apologizing. He said, look, you sold me into slavery. I was in jail. I was a slave in Egypt. You meant it for evil, but thanks be to God. In all circumstances, what you meant for evil, he meant for good. That's how, as followers of Christ, we can still be thankful, even when it seems dire and we're not going to make it through and this may take our life. We can still be thankful. That's a mark of a Christian. We can still give thanks because it declares we know God is all wise. God is not out of control in this time in our life. Whatever is going on, God still knows. It still matters to him. It's still part of his plan. Even though I don't get it, And you've heard that object lesson of the tapestry. You've all heard it and seen it before, where we see the backside and it just looks like a bunch of strings, and you turn around, it's a beautiful tapestry. And it's a great object lesson for this. The hard part is, though, in this life, many times we don't see the front side of it. We may never see the beautiful side of it, this side of eternity. But we know the Creator still working on that tapestry, preparing it. And we may not see it here, but thanks be to God, we will see it one day. So it doesn't matter what's going on today, in your job, in your home, in your family, in the world, we can still give thanks. Because when we give thanks in those what seem like hopeless times, it declares God's wisdom. John Calvin said it this way: "For what is fitter or more suitable for pacifying us than when we learn that God embraces us in Christ so tenderly that he turns to our advantage and welfare everything that befalls us?" Whatever God brings, what may seem hopeless, he will turn it into good. So our struggles in this life, our thanksgiving at that time, are an act of declaring the wisdom and providence of God. We say to ourselves in the world, no matter what, I know God's in control. Well, so we thank God because it distinguishes from the world and declares his wisdom, and it also develops our faith. What does he say at the end? In all circumstances, this is God's will for you, will in Christ Jesus for you. For those of us who are followers of Christ, when we give thanks, it increases our faith. It grows it. You know, in the early church, they would gather for worship, and it would say they would sing songs and they would give thanks. Much of their time and the main purpose of their gathering was not to hear a sermon, was not even to sing songs or to fellowship or talk about the football game. It was to give thanks. That was the center of their worship, was to thank God. It was the main ingredient. Should be the main part of our worship today. An act of thanksgiving to God. It needs to be not only a part of our worship, but part of our routine life. Look in the New Testament when Jesus does things. He's at the Last Supper. What does he do? He breaks the bread and gives thanks. When he's going to feed the multitudes, he takes the fish and the bread, and what does he do? He breaks it, gives thanks. Jesus set the pattern. We're to be a people who give thanks to God and recognize that everything we have is a provision from him. It needs to be part of our routine. It reminds us of who God is and who we are in relationship to him. Because we say, when we are thanking him for what he's given us, saying, look, God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have this bread that I'm eating right now. Thank you, God, for providing it. I need it. I need you to give it to me. Because I can't do it alone. And when that happens, it puts us into the proper position to understand our relationship with God. You see, a thanking and a humble spirit that comes to him and thanks him recognizes that he is high and I am not. That he is supreme and I am not. That he is perfect and holy and I am not. And we, in relation to him, give thanks because of his bounteous gifts and blessings. Giving thanks is also a sign of our obedience. Romans 6 talks about that. Once we were slaves to sin, but thanks be to God, now we are obeying the teachings of his word from our heart. It's a sign of our obedience to him when we give thanks. And then even when we pray, our prayers are acts of thanksgiving. It says to pray with supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be known to God. We're to pray thanking God that he can provide, that he will provide our need, and that he has provided multitude of times in the past. Thankful for what he has done. And finally, not only do we give thanks because it develops our faith, but because it displays God's glory. It shows who he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is talking to the church, and it's actually a passage talking about tongues. And he's saying, well, if you're doing this, fine, but what about the others there? He says, when you're giving thanksgiving in your spirit, That's good for you. But what about all the others? They don't get to see it. So he said, when you give thanksgiving, give it vocally in a coherent way so that others see you giving thanks and giving glory to God. We are to give him thanks publicly. It's a witness to others, and it builds up their faith and strengthens them, because when they see John over here praising God because he's faithful and thanking him for what he's done, they begin to think, well, if God provided for John, he might provide for me too. And I can trust him. You see, our public profession and thanksgiving to God is a witness to our neighbors and to the world and to the church around us that our God does provide, our God does care. We should be thankful to God because it's an act of witnessing. In 1 Timothy, when he talks about praying for our leaders, those who are in positions of authority over us, he says to do that with thanksgiving. It's a word we probably don't use a whole lot when we're talking about that, respecting authorities. But he says to be thankful for those who are over you. Not just pray for them, but to be thankful for them. Doesn't matter which political party they are. Be thankful for them because God has put them there. And pray for them so that, because, why? He goes on in the passage and says, because he desires that the whole world come to him for salvation. See, our thankfulness precedes witnessing. Because we understand that we would not be saved had it not been for God's grace in our lives. We can be thankful for that. And our thanking him leads us to witness and to share with others. For them to respond. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about and shares and says, because of other people's generosity, because of their faithfulness, more and more people are now giving thanksgiving to God and giving God glory. Your act of thanksgiving, your public declaration of praise and thanks be to God within your daily life, at your meals, at every instance, is a witness to the world. This is God's plan for you. He desires for you to be thankful. And here's the one that I never put this together until I started studying for this message. It's a good thing to start being thankful now because you're going to always be doing it. Revelation chapter 4, when it talks about the elders sitting around the throne, the angels, and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. What are they doing? They're giving glory and honor and thanks. Our act of thanksgiving is an eternal discipline. It's not just a holiday in November. It's a shame for us as Christians. We're that takes this to remind us to be truly, outwardly, and openly thankful. When we are going to be doing that forever, because we're going to be glorifying God, we're going to be honoring him, and we're going to be thanking him for eternity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Thank you, God, for who you are, that you saw fit to come into this world, to send your Son, to redeem us, to pour your grace out on us, to forgive us of sins. Thank you, God. If you can't do it here, I don't know if you'll be ready to do it in eternity. So for us as believers, thankfulness is not an option. It's a biblically mandated activity for those who follow Christ. This passage, it's an imperative phrase, which means you have to do it. I'm not saying you have to do it. God says you have to do it. Give thanks. In every circumstance, doesn't matter what's going on, still give thanks to God because we know he's in control. Some of us are in difficult circumstances today, and we don't know how we're going to make it through the end of the day or the week. And I've had a couple phone calls even this week that have reminded me how fragile life is and how discouraged and down we can get thinking there's no hope. But we can still give thanks. It doesn't matter. I found a list. I just want to read through it real quickly of things If you're not sure that you can give thanks this Thanksgiving, or this week, or any week, here's a list of reasons for you. Would you indulge me just a few minutes as I read through it quickly? We can give thanks because God is sovereign. We can give thanks because nothing happens by chance, and God causes all things to work together for good for his children. We can be thankful that hard times reveal our weakness, break our pride, and show us our total need for God. That God has triumphed over sin and death through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be thankful that God uses the worst that happens to promote our spiritual growth. And we can be thankful that God is faithful even when we are faithless. We can give thanks that God's word will be vindicated, that his promises are true, that evil will not reign forever, and that heaven is real. That this world is not the real world, that when we are weak, he is strong, that his grace is sufficient for every situation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Be thankful that our salvation rests on God and not on us. Be thankful there is no pit so deep that the love of God is not deeper still. That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin, and that God delights to save sinners, and that the Lord can soften the hardest heart. This week, you could be thankful that there are no impossible cases with God. You have one of those in your family and they're coming to dinner and you're wishing they weren't. Be thankful there's not an impossible case with God. This year could be different. We can be thankful that even when we feel alone, we're never alone. That our Father will not test us beyond what we can bear, and that the Holy Spirit abides with us always. That the Lord Jesus feels our pain, and that the Holy Spirit prays for us when we're too weak to pray for ourselves, and the Lord Jesus intercedes for us. That God uses everything and wastes nothing. Be thankful that our doubts cannot cancel God's work in us, and that someday we will be conformed to the image of Christ. Be thankful that God is faithful to finish his work in us, and that our hardships equip us to minister to others. We can be thankful that we are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace, and that God's plan far exceeds our puny imagination. That weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That we are still God's children, even when our faith falters. That while we suffer outwardly, we are being renewed inwardly. Be thankful that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. In the Message, Eugene Peterson paraphrases this verse this way. Thank God, no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. No matter what happens. Our nation is great to give us a holiday that makes us pause and think to be thankful. But it should burden us that it takes a holiday. We who know Christ as Savior should be most thankful every day. Every day should be characterized by thanksgiving, giving him thanks, because it shows we're different from the world. It deepens our faith. It declares we know that God is wise, and it displays God's glory for the world to see when we are thankful no matter what's happening. And it's tough. I get it. It's tough. And there are days you don't think you can. But here's a little test. When you don't think you can, just try. Find one thing you can thank him for. Maybe a little something that you got up this morning, that you're here. You have a car to drive, or you had a ride to get here. A friend who would bring you if you didn't have a car. You have a place to come and worship. You can be thankful. Start there. And I'd be surprised if from there it just didn't keep going, flowing over and over, all the things we can be thankful for. So I invite you to stand with us, and I know tonight's message may be a little different from others, but first, if you don't know Christ, don't know him as Savior, I'm not so naive to believe that everyone here does. You really have no basis to give thanks. We'd ask you to come and trust Christ. Maybe you'd like to join the church. We'd even do that on a holiday weekend Sunday night. We'd let you join if you'd like to come a part of the Central family. But maybe, and maybe for more of us, we just need to say, God, I've not been as thankful in my life as I should be. I've not recognized who you are and what you've done as much as I should have. I've become negative. I've complained. I've thought I haven't gotten it my way enough. It's not how I want it. This is too much. God, why are you putting me through this? And I've not been thankful like I need to be. I'd invite you to come to the altar and just mark it down and say, God, I'm going to be more thankful. In 2018, it's not going to take the holiday to make me do it. And this week's going to be different. It's not going to just be about the turkey and the dressing and the cranberry sauce and the pumpkin pie. I'm thankful on that day. But I'm going to live a life of thankfulness. Thankfulness for who you are. Telling the world, showing the world who Christ is through the way I express thanksgiving. Brother Mike and I will be here in the altar if we can help you while we sing.
My Jesus, I